Chapter 9. Dream With Me. It's remarkable how little changes between them. Perhaps Shiar's inexperience is showing, but he really thought mutual orgasms would result in something. Yu Baiyi clearly didn't get the memo on that one. He still brings Shiar drinks, still feeds him, still coaxes him through his stumbles, and makes fun of his successes. The biggest difference, really, is that when they part ways, Yu Baiyi will kiss him goodbye, sweet and lingering in a way that stays with Shiar all day. He hasn't even implied that Shiar should suck him off. If Shiar didn't already know that Yu Baiyi was an intensely weird person, he might be a little offended. As it is, he's charmed. Yu Baiyi will make him come in his pants in a filthy laneway, leave him trembling like a newborn lamb, and then act as if they should still take things slow. Adorable. With the competition selected and the date officially on Dupuis's calendar, marked out with holographic star stickers and the words, "Get 'em, Shia Shia," Dupuis is nothing if not reliable. Studio time becomes workmanlike. They choreograph the tango first, since it's easy. Yu Baiyi decides that Shiar should lead in at least two of the five dances, something Shiar bemoans as wanton cruelty out loud, but delights over where no one can see him. Thus, Shiar relearns how to lead a foxtrot. It's fraught for all of 10 minutes, Shiar tripping over memories of Zhao Jing. Then Yu Baiyi smacks his thigh and says, "You know you have legs, right? You might even be able to use them if you try." It gets better after that. One day, they grab a bunch of chairs and scatter them through the studio, and Shiar practices weaving between them. Easy mode compared to dodging other couples. But it's fun, even before they put on some show tunes and start going over the chairs instead of around them, a stare and Rogers style, just for the hell of it, while Marlon Brando not quite sings.
A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So
it's nothing they can use. 20 minutes wasted that could have been spent on real practice. Except it gets Yu Baiyi bright-eyed with triumph when they come down at the end of it without a fault. "What are you talking about?" Yu Baiyi demands, when Shiar voices his thought. "Your footwork was 10 times better by the end of that." They do the V-waltz and the quick step, refine the tango, finish the foxtrot. Every time Moon River comes on, Yu Baiyi skips it, and not just because it's dusty. Shiar leans back against the bar and takes a long swallow from his water bottle. "Pick another one. We've got to do the slow waltz eventually." Yu Baiyi goes still. "Do you not want to lead?" Shiar asks. He doesn't think that's the problem, but it's worth trying the easy fix first. "I can lead that one too, but if you can't, I can waltz, brat." Shiar frowns. Yu Baiyi sighs and scrubs at the back of his neck. He holds out his left hand. "Come on, then." Shiar takes it without hesitation. Yu Baiyi cues the music and tosses the iPod down almost angrily. But his hands are gentle when he guides Shiar into frame. Shiar tries to relax into it. At least the waltz doesn't require them to look at each other. He thinks Yu Baiyi might appreciate the illusion of privacy as much as he does. The music is barely anything. Piano solo. Not precisely melancholy, but not far from it either. Shiar leans back against Yu Baiyi's hand as they begin. It's been a while since his last waltz, and his posture has gone to hell, but his body remembers it, even if he doesn't quite recall. Yu Baiyi rocks him onto his right foot, then back to his left, draws the frame out. For all that they're not as pressed together as they would be in a tango, it feels more. It feels like being held by a lover. Shiar swallows thickly and pushes it down. His problem has always been getting out of his head, not into it. but now he's stuck in his body, with his pounding heart and his lungs that can't quite unstick themselves from the insides of his ribs. Yubai presses on his hand, his hip, and they move. They sweep through slow turns and fast ones, triple steps and hovers. They make long, sweeping arcs of the room and run down diagonals like water. He catches a glimpse of Yubai's face as they move into promenade, and another as they turn out. A glance in the mirror. There are tears in his eyes, unshed but shining, and his mouth is a hard line. He looks like a 100-year-old block of ice. Shiar wants to cradle his face in his hands and he doesn't know a thing about sweetness, except for Yubai whispering, "baby," into the crook of his neck in that alley, except for strong hands and warm laughter, except for being bullied into taking another bowl of soup. The song ends. Yubai spins him out, and Shiar bows to imaginary judges, to an imaginary audience. His chest is cracked open, bleeding. His skin is raw. Yubai doesn't stop him when he leaves. Shiar maintains just enough presence of mind to swerve away from the front door and go to the change room instead. He catches himself against a locker, seaweed snagging on a rocky shore, a low thrum of terror building in his guts as his lungs stretch and expand and refuse to collapse. This isn't the first time Shiar has needed to escape from a dance practice. It's not even the first time he's tried to escape from a waltz. Wanting distance has always ended badly for him, in bruised wrists and ringing ears and another round of drills to make up for the time he's wasted. But Yubai just let him go. Is there meaning in that? Slowly, painfully, his lungs remember how to breathe. His heart rate drops to something not quite normal. Not yet, but close enough. The fear bleeds out enough for humiliation to leak in. The slow, embarrassed understanding that he overreacted. Yubai still hasn't followed him. First things first. He stops by the bathroom to splash cold water on his wrists and his face and the back of his neck, then dries himself off ineffectually with a bit of paper towel. His face is splotched red in the mirror, and he flicks more water at his reflection before he turns away. Then, back to the studio, a slow step at a time, walking as quietly as he can, like he's sneaking in after curfew. Walking through Xiao Jing's big house in Turak after an argument. Fuck that. He lets his heel come down, quiet but present, then opens the door. Yubai straightens his back, sucking in a breath. There are no tear tracks on his face. His eyes are red and his jaw is tense. The rest of him is boneless, hands limp on his thighs, legs stretched out, all his strong lines bent. "You're gonna feel like shit if you keep sitting like that," Shiar says. Yubai snorts. Shiar stays in the doorway, tries again. "We can't perform like that." "No," Yubai agrees. He switches to English and adds, "We have to pick a different song. That one was Rong Chung Ching's dance." Shiar hadn't watched all of them, hadn't watched any of the waltz solos. Painful intimacy visible even from a thumbnail. But it doesn't matter. He can hear it. "I'm not his replacement." "You're not," Yubai says, agrees, just like that. Shiar, braced as he is for a fight, is knocked off kilter. "Okay," he says, thinks about saying more. As long as that's clear, maybe. But Yubai already looks about as cracked open as Shiar feels. It's not that Shiar wouldn't be cruel. He knows himself well enough to be familiar with his vicious streak. But there's no sport in it now. He crosses the room, slow but not cautious, kneels by Yu Baiyi's side, hands folded primly in his lap, considers. Yu Baiyi watches him from the corner of his eye. His head is still bowed. Fuck. Xiar has no idea how he's supposed to handle this. What would Dupusa do if this were him? I'm going to hug you now, he decides. Yu Baiyi is rigid when Xiar takes him in his arms. Xiar pulls him in, arranging his chin over his shoulder and his arms around Xiar's ribs, then leans his head against Yu Baiyi's hair. He rubs his back, gentle. There's a long moment where Yu Baiyi doesn't move. A minute, or maybe a century. Eventually, Yu Baiyi inhales deeply. His arms tighten around Xiar's waist, and he draws him into his lap. He rocks Xiar, rocks himself with Xiar, held in his arms so tight he can't quite inhale all the way. It's okay, Xiar says, back in Cantonese. He doesn't look at Yu Baiyi when he finally allows himself to cry. It's almost silent. Hard shudders that rack his chest and salt water on one shoulder, soaking the strap of his tank top. It's okay, Xiar says again, and then remembering the low thrum of Yu Baiyi's voice against his ear. I've got you, sweetheart. I've got you. Yu Baiyi's fingers flex, release, clutch at Xiar's back, and then flatten out, smooth over the planes of Xiar's shoulders. Xiar wants to squeeze him until they merge into one shape. Two hearts, two livers, two pairs of tongues curled around each other in a single skin. He settles for pulling Yu Baiyi's hair down from its bun and running his fingers through it. There's more of it than he thought, made into corkscrew curls by all the time spent pinned up, silky soft. Xiar weaves braids into it with quick fingers, small enough that they hold themselves in. Seven of them worked backwards from his hairline, the rest of his hair loose. Xiar finger combs it until Yu Baiyi settles his breathing. While he'd like to leave it down, there's still the heat to consider, so he gathers it up and ties it back into a high ponytail, smooths his hands over it to make sure it's not too tight. How's it look? Yu Baiyi asks. We match. See for yourself. Xiar gets off of Yu Baiyi's thighs to give him a hand back to his feet, bites his lip to keep from grinning as Yu Baiyi's knees go snap, crackle, pop. Then he steps aside, watches Yu Baiyi check his work. Yu Baiyi turns his head from side to side and gives it a hard shake. The braids stay put. Nice. Foxtrot? Xiar offers an easy out. Yu Baiyi sighs, shakes his head. No point avoiding it. Let me find a different song. They land on Sinatra. Maybe not for good, but for now. It's something they can waltz to, and Xiar spins Yu Baiyi back into his arms before handing over the lead. Once they're moving again, it's easier. Yu Baiyi seems back to his usual sardonic cheer. It's almost like Xiar's clumsy efforts helped. There's something about being cradled close and floating about to ridiculous, sappy music playing over the elderly speakers that hurts.
Hold me in your arms, dear. Dream with me.
Old Blue Eyes croons, and Xiar has to clench his jaw against another explosion of ridiculous feelings. Yu Baiyi must notice. Xiar's frame stiffens. Of course he notices. So he joins in. While a choir of angels from above sing our melody of love. He is horrendously off-key, meandering all over the songs, lazy up and down. At least he keeps time. Shi'ar rolls his eyes expansively and cringes and feels it through his hands as Yubai chuckles, a little closer to his normal laugh. That makes his chest ache, too. But he can deal with it. He can handle a little laughter. He relaxes until he's no longer a vaguely person-shaped plank, and Yubai dips him without ever shutting his mouth. Shi'ar bites him when they come out of the dip, an ungentle snap of teeth against Yubai's fingers where their hands entwine. Yubai yanks his hand away and pokes Shi'ar in the belly, and the music fades out with the pair of them tussling and Yubai dodging Shi'ar's teeth as he spins them out so fast it makes Shi'ar's head whirl. Afterwards, with the iPod on shuffle, they help each other stretch. Shi'ar drives his knuckles into the mess of knots in Yubai's lower back, and in return, Yubai leans his weight into Shi'ar's calves as he stretches his hamstrings. Then they sit together, backs to the mirror, Shi'ar's head on Yubai's shoulder, watching the reddish, smoky sky through the window. "Tomorrow," Yubai says, "we'll figure out the waltz. We'll be good for regionals in plenty of time." Shi'ar leans over to pick up his phone. "I'll ask Dupusa to be here. You should put a table in here and get a phone stand. We could record routines without having to bring someone in every time." He taps it out quickly and tacks on a kissing emoji for good measure. Before he can put his phone away, it buzzes in his hand. Yubai's phone, in the pocket of his track pants, buzzes too. Shi'ar looks at the message. "Untitled group chat with three people. Dupusa added you."
"I'm going to use his fucking guts for shoelaces. Shi'ar, baby, be on the lookout for more paps." Darth Vader ran his mouth again. "You too, old monster." "Oh, God. 19now.com.au/videos/A502. The link goes to a 90 minutes segment.
The clip autoplays when Shi'ar clicks on the link.
"Shi'ar came to me from a terrible place. By the time he was a toddler, he'd already been through so much. I've always been protective of him."
"I'm from fucking Hong Kong," Shi'ar mumbles. The floor is cold against his thighs, the mirror cold against his back. He's cold to his marrow. "What's wrong with Hong Kong?" The tiny Zhao Jing on the screen looks sad. He pauses to look into the middle distance.
"It's not something we've ever made public, but I think it's important that people know. Shi'ar is incredibly vulnerable. The kind of childhood we saved him from, it leaves its marks. I'm sure no one who is familiar with this kind of early trauma will be surprised when I say he has always struggled with his emotions. He will latch on to whoever can make him feel safe. My greatest fear is that someone will take advantage of him."
The interviewer asks a question that Shi'ar doesn't hear because Yubai is reaching out, cupping Shi'ar's hands in his. "You don't have to watch this." Shi'ar yanks his hands back in time to catch part of Xiao Jing's answer.
"Would never make those kind of accusations without hard evidence. But I will say that such a sudden change, it's a red flag."
"I mean," Shi'ar says, dull, "he's not wrong." "Bullshit." Yubai takes his chin and tips his face up. "He's making excuses for himself. He sighs. "I'm not good at this." Shi'ar blinks. "If you think you're broken, then you get a therapist," Yubai says. "Or you, I don't know, but don't shut down on me just because this idiot is trying to cover his ass." "Right. I mean, for your sake. You said you're not..." Yubai flinches, grimaces, but continues, "You're not wrong, Changcheng. I'm not that shithead. We... do you actually believe him?" Xiaor can't answer. He doesn't do online quizzes, doesn't read 10 signs you've been abused, or journals on child psychology and attachment issues. But Tianqiao does. He sees the sympathy in her gaze, in Luo Fumong's, even in Dupusa's sometimes. He knows what people think. Every time he hung off of Yifu's arm at one of the competitions they won, he saw the looks on people's faces. He told himself he and Yifu were defiant, special, provocative, above all that. It's pathetic. Xiaor stuffs his phone back into his bag. "Let's get another dance in. I think the quick step needs a little more practice." Yubai frowns, but he gets to his feet and offers Xiaor his hand. Xiaor looks at it for a long moment before he takes it, lets Yubai pry him up like a loose floorboard. They run the quick step twice, dance long enough for the speed to swallow the noise inside Xiaor's skull, and then the iPod shuffles to a song that suits a tango, even if it's a little slow. By the end of it, Xiaor is exhausted, too tired to do more than drape himself against Yubai and allow himself to be moved. They stand for a while after the song ends, tango frame relaxing into an embrace. Yubai's nose digs into the top of Xiaor's hair, breathing in like he's trying to memorize the scent. Xiaor can't say he's any better, not with the way his lips find Yubai's collarbone and rest there. He's angry, he realizes. A cold, still anger. Small but viciously sharp, like a single clear icicle hanging from a branch. Like a glass knife. Angry at himself, mostly. But at the sharpest point, angry at Yifu, too. "Fuck regionals," he says into Yubai's shoulder.
"Were those words?"
Yubai jogs his shoulder gently, raising Xiaor's head. Xiaor lifts his face and looks at Yubai. His face always looks like he should be frowning, even now when he's smiling at Xiaor. "Fuck regionals," Xiaor says. He speaks clearly, his enunciation excellent. Another thing Yifu would say Xiaor should thank him for. "I know what we decided, but fuck it. If Zhao Jing wants to turn me into propaganda, I'm going to make myself a spectacle."
"Brat," Yubai sighs. "I'll make some calls. It's going to be a real pain in the ass. You know that, right?"
Xiaor settles his hands on Yubai's waist, draws circles with his thumbs. "Is there anything about me that isn't?" He gets squeezed for that, light around the ribs until his spine cracks like an old man's.
"You do a pretty good job of not stepping on my feet these days."
It manages to sound like good boy and sweetheart and little prince and beautiful. And Xiaor is tired. He can't catch a fucking break today, apparently. Can't get Xiao Jing out of his life. Can't get through a practice without having a breakdown about it. Can't waltz without feeling like his stomach is gonna drop out his ass. For the first time since they started dancing together, the thought of coming into the studio the next day feels like a chore. He muscles through it, takes that thought and shoves it into the shameful little box where it belongs and duct tapes it shut. "Let me call," he says and steps away. "You figure out what you want to do for a waltz." "Coward," whispers a little voice in the back of his head. "Graceless boy, is this how you show gratitude?" Xiaor shoves that down too. When he gets home, he stands in Dupusa's shower for too long, panting under the spray, until his lungs are clogged and muddy, and the relief of the hot water on his muscles has passed pleasant and over the line into parboiled and bloated. Then he puts on a face mask, dries his hair, and gets himself a drink and his phone. "Coward," comes that voice again,
as he opens a new text instead of just hitting call like an adult. Shi'ar drains his glass and presses send.